love being here. Very early on, I remember a moment when I was maybe 12 or 13 in church and something shifted in me, and it became, I wasn't at breakthrough because that's where my family went. I was at breakthrough because that was where God has called me. I was at breakthrough not because it's just by chance, but because their calling of breakthrough was here. And I was like, I don't care if anyone else left, I'm going to stay here because this is where God has called us. It's God has got his breath on this place. So it's such a joy to be here. And if this is your first time at Breakthrough, I want to give you a very special welcome. We're a family here. We have a lot of fun at Breakthrough, and it's such a joy to welcome you today. For those online as well, well, I'm gonna pray, and then I'm gonna get into the message, and then I believe we'll maybe have a bit more worship later on. But I'm gonna start by praying. So why don't you join me in praying? Lord, I thank you, God, for the joy of being in your presence. Lord, we thank you for that beautiful time of worship that we've just had. Lord, we thank you for your presence, for your glory, thick in this place. Lord, I thank you, God, right now, we just give the rest of this time to you. Holy Spirit, I give you all the notes, everything we've prepared, I just submit it to you, and I ask you, Lord, to work. Lord, may my words today come straight from your throne room, straight from heaven. Lord, this morning, Lord, may there be rhema words of life for every person joining today. Lord, may there be prophetic words today. Lord, may it not be me, but you, Lord, speaking today. Lord, so I just ask you to come and to fill this place and to guide every word we say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say amen. Amen. Turn to the other side and say, God is good. Amen. Yeah, you could start singing it. That's great. God is good. Okay, so today what we're going to be talking about is something which God started birthing in my heart a few weeks ago. We're going to be talking about the concept of Yahweh Nissi, the Lord our banner. You might see there's a few banners on stage. We'll be looking at them in a little bit. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord our banner. And I just wanted to give you a background of where this came from. And a few weeks ago, my husband Cam, who is leading today, he's like, oh, I've got to show you. He was telling me, you've got to show you this song. There's this new song that I've heard, and I've got, you know, you've got to listen to it. We put on our TV and he started playing that song, Joy. He loved the new song we learned this morning, Joy. I love it. And he was showing me the song. It was by Martin Smith. I kept calling him Chris Martin in my notes. I'm like, I don't think that's right. I think it's the wrong Martin. Martin Smith, I believe. And he was leading a song called Joy. And I believe he was leading it at Bethel Church. And he was, you know, worshiping this song. And it was so powerful. And then halfway through the song, he sort of stops the song and stops singing. And then he gets out this banner. You know, maybe I'll get it out so you can have a look at it. He brought out a banner and it had the word joy written on it. So he brought out this big banner and then he just gave it to somebody, you know, in the congregation. And then he didn't say anything, just gave it to them. And then he started reading from Isaiah 61, Lee actually came this morning. She said, I'm feeling Isaiah 61 for you today. Isaiah 61, and he just started reading words of scripture while this person was waving the banner. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, comfort the brokenhearted, proclaim the captives will be released. He sent me to tell me those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And he said, all those who mourn in Israel, he'll give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. And he just started reading this scripture while they're waving this banner. And you could feel the presence of God was just so strong in that place. And as we were watching it, on TV, you could feel like the presence of God coming. But I was just thinking about the banner. And I was thinking, how amazing, you know, how powerful was that? And I think Cam turned to me. He's like, you know, we've got to bring banners back. Like, that is so powerful. And I was like, yes, this is amazing. Absolutely. I'll put it there for now. I was just like, yeah. And then it just started making me think about that concept of banners. And something went off in my heart. And I just started thinking, well, what does it mean? What does the banner represent? What does it, you know, what does it mean? And then starting looking into the concept of, you know, the Lord is our banner. And the more I went into it, the more I dive deep into it, it was like just started going off in my heart, and I realized the rich truth and power that comes with that concept, the Lord being our banner. And the more I read, the more I studied, the more it just thinking that the depths of power of in this concept, you know, and actually genuinely at first I was a bit weary of doing a message on the, you know, our banner. And I was like, Lord, you know, if I come up there with a banner, people are going to think I'm kooky. They're going to think I'm a strange Christian, you know, and that, you know, maybe, and I believe there have been times. Yeah, they already think that. Thanks, Pastor Peter. Take back what I said, you know, about, they're going to think I'm kooky. And I know there has been largely at times where people in the wider church, you know, that God moves in great ways and there's manifestations of them, there's physical interpretations of things, and then people start craving that side of it rather than God. And, you know, you see those people, they start moving in the just all the expression of it rather than going back to where God was moving and something. So probably because of things that you've seen and heard, you can be weary. But the danger with that is you get afraid then of what God actually has in that. You can be so afraid of doing it wrong that it's like you just step away from it altogether. And then the Lord started quickening my heart and said, no, don't just like step away because you don't want to do it wrong. You can get anything. Anything can be misused and wrong. He said, just go back to the scripture and see the truth of this. And the more I started diving into it, the more I realized there is such power here that we need to tap into. So we're going to read today. We're going to go on a journey and we're going to start in Exodus 17. So if you've got your Bibles, go to Exodus 17. And where we are in the history, we're going to start in chapter 17, verse 8. And where we are in the story in the Bible is we're looking at Moses, and Moses is leading the Israelites. So what has happened? The Israelites have been in captivity in Egypt for a long time. They've had the promise of the promised land that God was going to free them. And where we are right now is they've been freed from the Egyptians, but they're on their way to the promised land. So they're in this in-between season of being rescued from the captivity of Egypt, but they're on their way to the promised land, and they're here in the middle, and Moses is leading this group of people. And if you go back and read some of the chapters before, you realize they're not the most grateful bunch of people to be leading, and you have a lot of empathy for Moses. But here we are. So they're on their way. They're in the in-between part. So verse 8, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired so he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on, and they stood on each side of Moses holding up his hands. I just want to stop right there and just I want to shout out, Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' arms. I believe everyone is called to be an Aaron and a Hur at some stage in your life. I believe people are called to be Moses, but everyone is called to be an Aaron and a Hur at some point, supporting and holding up minister people, other people, and the people in our community. That's what I love, you know, about being in a community, to say, hey, there are times I'm going to be an Aaron and a Hur to you right now. I'm here to help hold up your hands. You might be called to lead, but you're always called to serve those around you as well. But here we are. So Moses holding up the staff when he's getting weary. So Aaron and Hur are holding his arms up. So his hands held steady. And so they stood on each side of Moses holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it out to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under my heaven, from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. He said they've raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation. Amalek chose the wrong side of the battle to be on. But I love that. When the staff of the Lord was raised, there was victory. When the staff was down, they started losing. There is no mistake how the battle was won. Only when the rod was lifted up, the battle was not won by military might or strength, but by the power of God alone. So what an incredible story. Here he is. The Lord has brought victory when the staff of God was raised high and they were fighting under the staff of God. But here, let's go back to verse 15. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. A name of God, such a powerful name of God. You know, you might not have read through the Bible, but the names of God, naming is such an important part in the Bible. Naming is so important in the Bible. You know that naming is so important to God, what name he gives things. There is meaning behind name. I don't believe just in the Jewish culture, it was very important, but also just in right throughout the Bible, God would name things, and that name would speak to destiny. That name would speak to who they are. You know, he would change names, Abram to Abraham. You'll be the father of nations. He would name places right throughout, you know, the Bible. You read times where they would name something based on what God had spoken over it, based on what God had said. Naming is so important to God. We believe in that here at Breakthrough, and we believe, you know, we were praying this morning that the church is called Breakthrough. That's not just some pretty name, pretty word that we picked out, Breakthrough, because that speaks to the destiny. That speaks to the calling of what this church is called to. We are called to be Breakthrough. Breakthrough by name, Breakthrough by nature. There is importance with the name that God gives something. And here we are, we have the name, a name of God revealed. Yahweh Nissi. Yahweh, which was first revealed in Exodus 3, where Moses was talking to God and he said, what am I going to, you know, what do the people call you? What is your name? And God had this conversation with Moses and revealing that he said, the I am, Yahweh. Yahweh, I am, the great I am. There is so much power. You could dive right into the power of that word, Yahweh. The great I am. I am God. I am the great I am, the one that is full of power and strength and the God of all gods. So Yahweh is his name. You know, I was watching some videos yesterday by people who, you know, speaking from the Jewish culture's perspective. They said Yahweh was such a sacred name. They held it with such reverence. And he said often they would instead even use titles like Lord and other titles because the word Yahweh was so reverent to the name of God. It was who he was. So here we got Yahweh Nissi. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. And I love, like I said, you could look deep into all the different names of God. Yahweh, also translated Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, where it's the I am, and then a part of his name which reveals a part of the characteristic of who God is. Revealing a characteristic of who this great I am is. And this today, that we were in this part, he's revealing himself as Yahweh Nissi, a part of who God is in his calling. He is Yahweh Nissi, the Lord, our banner. Amen. Amen. So I started looking into that concept of banner. What does it represent? What does a banner mean? What does a banner do? You know, and I discovered that it's not just biblical. But banners hold great significance actually in many areas of life. You use banners in many other places, and it's completely, you know, normal. You might not even realize the significance banners have in other parts of our culture. And I realized how significant banners were in medieval times, in armies, in national recognition. It's really common even in things like sporting matches and competitions. You know, banners are used all the time. So what is a banner? It's a long strip of cloth bearing a slogan or design carried in a demonstration or procession or hung in a public place. That's just a very basic understanding of a banner. They said, you know, back in the day, they were often wrapped around flagpoles for ease of transport and display. But banners hold such significant parts in society and in culture. So what we're going to look at first is we're going to look at some of the significant ways banners are used in culture, and then we're going to look at that from the biblical point of view and say, well, this is how it's being used, and here are some of the things that banners already represent, but then go back to the Bible and say, what do you say in the Bible, Lord, about this? So we're going to move through this quickly. I'm not going to speak a long time to each one, but here are some ways that banners are just used in the natural world, taken from like lots of research from different places around. So firstly, we'll talk about in medieval times. I read places that said the main purpose of banners on medieval battlefields was to identify troops, to rally soldiers, convey messages. Banners served as a visual representation of location of individual units, commanders, and the overall leader of the army, helping to prevent soldiers from scattering amidst the chaos of battle. They were crucial for communication, relaying commands, and providing soldiers with a rallying point. Noblemen's flags and banners were also played a significant role in determining the overall commander of an army or an international alliance. We'll look into a few of those more, but rallying soldiers, communication, letting everyone know who the commander is. How are banners used? Banners can be used to celebrate, celebrating a victory. You know, you wave a flag in victory. I don't know if you've ever been to an AFL match, but you will see flags being raised and we're in AFL matches, you know, and people will come around and banners are being raised and people are, you know, waving, celebrating a victory. You know, when what happens in an AFL match, at the end of it, a siren goes and the winning team, their song starts coming on and everybody who's wearing the colours of their team stands up, and then you start seeing, you know, banners all around, people cheering and screaming, and if you're on the losing team, your head's going down and you're trying to do the awkward shuffle out and looking down. When you're going out of the, you know, the MCG, there's, you know, banners being waved around and your head's down. You know, you go out to the car, people often can hang banners out from their car celebrating the victory. I think it's illegal, but it's done. You know, hanging out the window, people use their scarf as a banner and start waving it because they're celebrating. We've won. You know, people in battle, you're waving a victory. It's a sign of celebration. It's a joy. We're celebrating a victory. Banners can be used to show alliance. You wave a flag and a banner to show your alliance and allegiance to a cause, to a country, to a team. You know, when you're waving a banner, you're saying, I'm aligning myself with them. I'm aligning myself with this cause. You know, you've seen recently with political movements, there'll be a flag or things that represent the movement. People will wave that flag as a way of showing I'm aligning myself with that movement. People will hang flags on their house. You know, you don't go to the football and have two flags. And when one team wins, you bring out their flag and you put it down. When the other team gets a goal, you bring out their flag. If you do that, the people around you will not speak kindly to you. I'm going to give you a warning. You know, you come and you choose a side. A banner is about saying, I'm choosing a side, and that's the side I'm on. And I'm choosing it. That's who I am. I'm aligning myself. This is my allegiance. I'm aligning myself with this cause, whatever it might be. This is the side I am on. You know, and in that, banners are there to be seen. Banners, the purpose of a banner is for everyone to see, what side have you chosen? What side are you supporting? Which side are you aligning? You don't get a banner, go, that's lovely, fold it up nice and neat, and pop it underneath the bed where nobody can see, and then walk about your day. Banners, that's not the design, that's not the purpose of a banner. You wave it. Banners are visible. The whole point is for the banner to be seen, unmistakable and unignorable. You cannot hide it. You wave it and you say, this is the side I am on. The whole purpose, otherwise it's useless. It's meant to be a statement. It's saying, this is my statement. This is who I am. Back to the sporting match, at the end, sometimes you do try to hide it at the end of the match if you're not on the winning side. You take your jumper off, put a jacket over, cover the banner that you've been wearing over you, near cover. But banners are there to be seen, to be visible. Banners are used to honor heroes, to honor a country. It's a sign of reverence and respect. You know, if you've seen videos of fallen heroes coming back, of soldiers who have died, and they're coming back, and you see them as they fly in, and there'll be a flag, you know, across their casket. People will be there holding up flags of respect and banners. They're used as a way of showing respect, of showing reverence. You know, flags in a country, it's such reverence is put in there. There's honor to it. People will bow to flags. People will show. It's a way of saying, I'm showing reverence and I'm showing honor to something. Together. It's an invitation. It says it's an invitation for a gathering place. You know, come to the battle. In battle, they said a flag is used as a rallying point. It helps soldiers maintain formation and identifying their unit. So it's saying, here, come to the banner. It rallies people. It gathers people together. It brings people, different backgrounds, to come and unite amongst a cause. It's saying, hey, we're all united by this cause. I'm coming. We're all coming to meet under this banner. We're all coming together for this flag, for this banner. So it gathers people. And then similarly in that, it sets direction. You know, people gather under a flag, but then it will set direction. People follow the flag, follow the banner. You know, in battle, people will be following a flag, following their leader and command. It keeps them united because they're all joining together under that banner. In not quite as, you know, deep terms, you know, have you ever been to a tourist destination and there's about 80 tourists all there and somehow all of them are moving in one group together and they're not getting lost because you see at the front of that group is a little person with a little flag and they're all following the flag. And that little flag is setting the direction. That little banner is setting the direction so everyone knows that's the direction we're going. You know, and if you don't follow the banner, you're lost and you're left behind. You know, so you're following. Flags set direction. Banners set direction. You know, I've often told my family, I love, you know, when we go, you know, overseas and we might go to, you know, tour, you know, amusement parks like Disneyland. I said, I'm going to be that little tour guide with the flag. And I'm like, if you don't follow the flag, you're out. You follow. We're following. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. Follow. I think my missed calling would be a tour guide. Follow me. Banners, they show authority. In ancient times, banners were used as a symbol of a leader's presence and authority. It showed what name you were representing. You know, people come with a banner and that's, you know, I can just come up. I could come up to the leaders of the opponents and go, it's just me, but I can come with a banner, and that's a whole different story because it's saying I'm representing my leader. The leader of this is my leader. So when you're speaking to me, you're not just speaking to me, you're speaking to them. I'm bringing this. It brings the authority, and it brings the leader's presence into a situation. You know, a king wouldn't go to every negotiation and to every conversation, but he would send people representing him, and they're saying, we're representing our king. I'm representing them. And along that, it's a sign of protection because the display of a flag and a banner changes everything. Suddenly it says, you are not alone. You sit under the protection of that flag. You sit under the protection of that banner. You know, I come up and people, you know, I would come up to someone and, you know, if it's just me, it's me. But as soon as I've got this, they know they're speaking to the leader. They're speaking, I've got the protection of whoever this flag and banner represents. It's like, you're speaking to the person who is over this. I've got their protection. I've got their resource. I've got everything that they have. Every resource they have is with me because I'm on, that's the side I'm on. And I'm coming with them. You know, there's a funny scene in a rom-com that I love. It's called Princess Diaries. And it's a documentary of a queen in the fictional place called Genovia comes to America. Fictional, yeah, maybe not documentary. I'm sure it's based on true stories. Queen comes down into America. And what do you know? This American schoolgirl is actually a princess. Wow, shock. And she's a princess and she finds out and so she has to get princess training and, you know, just the way I imagine it to really happen if that were to be the case. But so, you know, the queen has come to America and this, you know, this American girl finds out that she's a princess. So suddenly her life has changed. And the next morning for school, where she would usually ride her bike to school, a limo comes to pick her up for school. So she gets in the limo and the driver's, you know, she's getting chauffeured to her high school. And on the front of the limo are these flags, Genovian flags. And she says to the driver, can we get rid of the flags? Like, it's a bit embarrassing showing up to school and the flag. I'm just trying to be incognito. Can we get rid of the flags? And he says, no. He's like, the flag allows me to park anywhere. We'll keep the flags. So basically he's saying, no. The flag gives me all of the authority of the country, of what comes with that flag. That gives me, you know, immunity to things. That gives us diplomatic rights. That flag means I can go into places that I wouldn't be allowed to go in otherwise. That flag means I can drive places, I can park places. But without the flag, I've lost all of the authority that comes with that flag. So he said, no, we'll keep the flag. But yeah, flag is a sign of protection and authority. A flag is a representation of a fight for victory, waved in battle, and it says soldiers fight under that banner. They say these flags bear the insignia of their country. The soldiers are said to fight under the banner. You fight under the banner, it's a sign of victory. You know, we're waving a flag as a sign of we are believing and we're walking to victory. You know, you don't wave a flag in a sign of defeat. You're waving a flag to say, we're flying high. You know, we're going to victory. Soldiers fight under the flag. They fight under that flag. And lastly, the one that I want to bring up is, which I think might be the most important, banners are used to claim ground, to take ground, to claim land. You know, I've seen it in movies, you know, all the time. You know, there'll be a battle, and at the end, the winner puts their flag and sets a flag on the land, because that's a sign that we've taken this land, we've claimed this ground, we've taken this. This is ours. You know, people, you know, you're seeing times when people will come back and, you know, that like the, maybe people, the army have been at war, and then they come back to their country and their home place. And everything might have been destroyed and people have been kidnapped or things have happened. And in the middle of it all will be a flag. And they'll know this, you know, that the enemy, this is who has come to claim this thing, you know. So it's a sign of taking ground. It's a sign of saying we are claiming this land in the name of whatever the banner speaks of. We are claiming this land, you know, in the name of this banner, of this flag. If you're putting a flag down, you are making a statement of claiming land. So that's some of the ways that banners are used just in the natural and just in regular causes. But if we want to start to look at biblically, I would love to go back to Exodus, where it says here, where it brings up the name Yahweh Nissi, and when Yahweh Nissi was first heard, and was following the battle one with the staff of God, representing, I believe in here, the banner of God. The staff of God that Moses had, the staff. And as he lifted it high, they won the battle. As it was down, they would be losing. The staff of God. And as I started reading, the Holy Spirit prompted me to start going back and seeing the amount of times, just in the last few chapters, that the staff of God was used. And the staff of God was mentioned. So we're going to go in reverse order. So let's start in Exodus 17, where we just were. Verse 11, so as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. So number one, the staff of God was used in battle and it brought victory. When the staff was raised high, it brought victory. You know, I'm going to change this one actually over to Yahweh Nissi. Oh, thank you. Yahweh Nissi. So when the staff was raised high, it brought victory. So something the staff of God, banner of God does, it brings victory into situations. When they fought under the banner of the Lord, it brought them victory. Let's go to Exodus 17, but let's go up to verse 5. Actually, we'll read from verse 1, sorry. 17 verse 1. So this is before that, we're going backwards. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim, which later had the battle with the Amalekites. But there was no water there for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Quiet, Moses replied. Why are you complaining against me and why are you testing the Lord? But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Walk out in front of the people, take your staff, the staff of God, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. I will stand before you on the rock of Mount Sinai, strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink." So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. And Moses named the place Massah. So here was the staff of God again appearing, and they had no water. And the Lord instructed him, use the staff to strike the rock, and water would come out. So in this case, when the Lord was instructing him to use the staff, it brought provision. It brought provision for them. It brought victory in the battle. It brought provision in the concept of water. You know, like we said before, when you're fighting under a banner, it represents their resources. When we're fighting under the Lord's banner, we're saying it's not in my might, it's not what I can bring to this, it's the Lord who is bringing. I'm representing all the Lord's resources here. I'm not just representing me, I'm representing the Lord's provision. I'm representing the Lord in where I'm coming and where I'm going. So in this case, the staff of God brought provision. Let's go to Exodus 14. We'll go verse 15. So here they are, they've been rescued out of Egypt. They're coming, but they've met at a dead end. They're at the Red Sea. Verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops and his chariots and charioteers. When my glory was displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord." So it goes down and talks about how the angel who was before them with a pillar of cloud went behind them. Down to verse 21. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with the strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls on each side. So praise God. In this case, the staff of God made a path. It made a way where there was no way. It made a way for them to move forward and advance. So the staff of God, as he was using it, made a path where there was no path and made a way for them to move forward. I believe the Lord, our banner, makes a path for you, makes a way where there is no way. In this case, the Lord made a way for them to move forward into where he had called them to go. When the Lord is your banner, he will make a way and a path for you to go forward and move advance into what he is calling you to do. If you keep reading in Exodus 14, and we'll go verse 23. So the Egyptians, all the Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. "Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." I love that. Even the enemy said, "You can't deny this. The Lord is fighting their battle for them." Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And on here, verse 26, when all the Israelites had reached the other side of the sea, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again, then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into sea, not a single one survived. So in this case, as he raised his hand again, the waters closed and the enemy was defeated. The Lord, our banner, defeats your enemies in the name of Jesus. The Lord, your banner, not only gets you through, but defeats your enemy on the way through. I'm not going to take time to go to it, but I'm just going to mention them. If you keep reading back in Exodus, 7-10, there's the plagues that was coming. The Lord had been warning Pharaoh every time, let my people go. Pharaoh would say no, but he would warn them. And he'd say, the plague will come if you don't do that. And Pharaoh kept denying them to go, so plagues would come. Many of the plagues, a staff was used. The staff of God, either Moses' staff or Aaron's staff, was used. You know, in the locusts, in hail, with gnats, in the frogs, water turning into blood, staffs were used as part of that, of the plague coming forth. So in that case, it brought fulfillment to the prophetic word of the Lord. The Lord declared this will happen, and the Lord our banner, the staff of God, was part of bringing the words and the word of the Lord into fulfillment. I believe the Lord our banner brings fulfillment to the prophetic word of the Lord. It enables a prophetic word and promise of the Lord to come into fulfillment. And in Exodus, again, we won't take time to read it, but in Exodus 7:8, you can look, but even before that, the Lord instructed Moses to take Aaron's staff, and he went. They met with the leaders, and the staffs were turned into serpents. And Aaron's staff, the serpent, ate all of the other serpents that belonged to the Egyptians and then turned back into a staff. Incredible moment, a miracle of what God did. Again, the staff of God was being used. And in that case, the staff of God was showing that God's sovereignty, that God was sovereign and above all gods, because that serpent ate all the other serpents as a symbol that God was sovereign, that God was above every other god, that his name was above every other name. So there we are, church, just sometimes that the staff of God that led to the very name Yahweh Nissi, so the things that staff had done just in the chapters before that, it brought victory. It brought provision and resource. It made a way where there was no way. It made a way for them to move forward and advance into their calling. The staff of God defeated the enemy. It didn't just bring them through. It defeated the ones that were chasing them. The staff of God brought fulfillment and enabled a prophetic word from the Lord to come into fulfillment and to come to pass. And the staff of God showed God's sovereignty, that he was the name above all names, that he was the God above all gods. Church, give him a shout of praise. That's the Lord that we serve. He is the God above all gods. That is what the Lord our banner is. That is who he is and who we serve in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and I believe there's two parts to this. There's the Lord our banner. There is the fact that the Lord is a banner over us. Yahweh Nissi. We sit under the Lord our banner, just like as it was raised in battle. They sat under the Lord our banner. There was protection that brought victory. So there's that incredible promise and truth that we sit under the Lord our banner. But there's another part to it. Every time, or most times, Moses was raising the banner of the Lord, was raising the staff and lifting the Lord as their banner over them. I believe we take a part, church. Yes, we sit underneath God and declare him as the Lord, but we also need to choose to lift him as the banner over our life. I believe we have a choice, just like Moses, to say, I'm choosing to lift up Yahweh Nissi. I'm choosing to lift up Yahweh Nissi over my life. I'm choosing to lift up the banner of God over my family. I'm choosing to lift him high in victory over my bean patch, over my family, over my home, over my community, over my church. I'm choosing to lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are choosing to lift up the name of God in this place. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know what, worship team, why don't you come on back up? I just feel God's moving in this place. You know, you might want to get on your feet, because we're just going to keep looking on what God is doing. Yahweh Nissi. We are lifting up the banner of over our lives. You know, spiritually, it's not just physically, it's spiritually lifting him up over your life. How can you raise a spiritual banner in your life? What are some ways that you can lift up the Lord, your banner? How can you lift him up over your home, over your bean patch? Yeah. Words, what are you declaring out? What words are you speaking out over your family, over your home? Are you being flippant? Are you being flippant and in your words putting the banner down? Are you saying things that is putting the Lord your banner underneath you, or are you using words that are lifting him high in your home? obedience. Moses had to obey the word of the Lord. Every time it said that, it said the Lord told Moses and the law, and it says Moses did as the Lord said, and he did whatever the Lord had said. In order to activate and have the banner of the Lord raising, waving over your family, you need to obey whatever it is that the Lord has commanded you to do. You need to step out and obey whatever steps he's told you to do. If he's told you to do something, you step out and you do it. And you say every act of obedience that I do, the Lord is a way of me raising the Lord, the banner over my life in the name of Jesus. You know what? You need to submit to the banner. You need to submit to the banner. You know, in all of these victories, Moses gets no credit. The army of Joshua gets no credit. The only one getting credit and glory for this is God. You need to make a choice in your heart to say, I don't want any credit. I don't want anyone pointing at me and saying, look how well they walked through that. I only want them looking and saying, look at the Lord our God. Who? Look what the Lord has done in my life. Look at the victory that the Lord, the Yahweh Nissi, has brought into my family. I don't want them to look at anything else but God. I want God to be glorified in this, in the name of Jesus. Give him a shout of praise in this place. You're just gonna see. You know what? Another way that you activate the Lord, your banner over your life, through worship, through praise. Every time you are praising, spiritual warfare, you are praising, you are opening up the heavens and filling the heavens and atmosphere with the praises of God. With through prayer, intercessory prayer, spend time praying, lifting up the banner of God over your family and your life. Our lives are so busy. The enemy loves how busy our lives are. Spend time praying. Spend time on your knees praying for your bean patch. Spend time interceding for your church. Spend time interceding for your family in the name of Jesus. Oh, sikata gana see. You can raise the banner of your life through speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, come out today. Come and be filled with the Spirit today. It's such a beautiful gift, the Holy Spirit in us, the gift of being able to flow and pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. So, right, I encourage you, you go through your home, you go through your workplace, you go through your community, and you start waving the banner high through prayer. But you know what, church, don't stay there. Don't just stay in tongues. The purpose of tongues is for you to be in tap with the Spirit, and then you start listening to what the Spirit's saying, and you start then praying out in English or whatever language you speak. You start praying out and getting your faith connected and releasing your faith, because then God can work with the Word of the Spirit and your faith, and He can work with the two of that, and together you can be charging forward. So you start praying, you go, and you just start feeling actually the word protection. Protection's coming up. So you just start declaring that out. Lord, my faith is joining, and I'm just saying the protection. I'm declaring protection over this. I'm declaring that whatever is coming up, you start working with the Lord and tapping your faith in the name of Jesus. Oh, Sikadesh, you gotta see. Protect the atmosphere in your home. Protect what atmosphere, what banners are being raised. Because I'm telling you, if you're not deliberately waving a banner is being raised on your behalf. A banner, every time you put on a TV, there's things coming out. Every time you put on music, there are spirits coming through that. There are banners that are being waved. You protect the atmosphere of your bean patch. You protect it. And you say, I'm deliberately waving the Yahweh Nissi over this home. And if something comes into this home that is not of God, it's leaving in the name of Jesus. There's no place for any other banner in this house. There is only the banner of God. And no other banner is going to be raised in my home, in my bean patch. No other banner is going to be raised. As for me and my house, as for me as my church, we're raising the name of Jesus. And the name above all names is the one that is in this home and in this family, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Shikakadashikakadashikakadashikakadashik. Woo! Woo! One more thing, church. Like we said earlier, a banner is not meant to be kept under your bed. A banner is not meant to be kept in your closet. A banner is meant to be waved loud for all to see. You know what? You might be feeling in this culture today, oh, I might get canceled if I declare Yahweh Nissi as my Lord. you know what? I might get fired if I do that, and that's a genuine threat. Well, I'm telling you, the minute you start putting your banner back underneath the bed because you're afraid of the culture, you've just put the Lord, your banner, on the floor. Church, you need to wave it where it can be seen. You need to wave it to say, I don't care what others will think. I don't care. You can threaten to cancel. You can threaten whatever you want. But I'm waving this banner high and loud for all to see. I'm waving and I'm boldly standing under the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell everyone who will hear that I'm standing under the name of Jesus. And I will not back down. And I will not put it down silently. You shut up and sit down silently. My banner has been waved loud. And Jesus, the name of Jesus is being lifted up high in my house, in my community. You know what? Can we just spend some time? Can we spend some time lifting up Yahweh Nissi over this place? Can we spend some time worshiping and praying? I didn't know where this was going to go, but I feel like God is moving. So I'm just going to give us a few minutes. If you want to grab a banner, you're welcome to come and grab a banner. If you want to wave it, you come and get one. You can start intercessing. You can start praying. I'm going to put that there so someone can grab it if you like. Just be careful. Don't hit anybody. But you can wave it, and you can, or you can just be worshiping and using this time to speak out into the atmosphere what God is doing. You can use this time to intercede and pray, to start praying in the Spirit. Those online, I encourage you, wherever you are, stop what you're doing and start interceding, to start spending time praying and joining in what God is doing. Let's lift up Yahweh Nissi over this church, over our bean patches, over our families, over this community, over Bayswater. Let's lift His name high in Jesus' name.